This is Matt Wells at UN News. If you've ever wondered how UN Blue Helmets carry out their work and how it might look in the future, then look no further than a new film on the subject, Until There Is Peace, set in Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, and focusing on the international force there, MONUSCO. The documentary focuses on what happened when the UN Security Council created a specialised intervention brigade to proactively protect civilians under threat from armed groups. Director Melanie Kassman and MONUSCO Deputy Force Commander Jean Ballot talked to Daniel Johnson about their experiences with the UN's largest peacekeeping force.
Well, it was different than anything I'd ever experienced before. I'd never travelled in tanks or worn body armour, but I always felt safe. The guys were super professional, but it was also difficult because you know that the dangers just can happen any time, and then it's peaceful again, and then there's an attack, and then it's peaceful. So,
Commander Jean Ballot, you are second in command at MONUSCO, the peacekeeping mission in the DRC. You said yourself very movingly that it was hard for you to go into these villages that had been attacked several times. But what did the evolution of the peacekeeping mandate give you in the sense that it meant that you could go and proactively fix a problem before conflict, before an armed clash erupted?
Actually, what is at the heart of the mandate is the mandate of protection of civilians. But recently, 2 years ago, the Security Council asked us to do it proactively in an efficient manner. And they had the words, including by preventing, deterring and stopping the threat. Which means that you cannot stay passive. You have to take all the measures ahead of major risks which may happen to effectively protect the population.
But you could do this more effectively. I mean, before that, were your hands tied in some senses? You couldn't go out and send out these brigades, as they were known, to go and fix the problem.
We had a lot of debates also within MONUSCO, I have to say, because the paradigm was more to protect by presence. We were even pushed by a lot of factors, including NGOs, who were willing to see us everywhere, which means that we were spread in the country, which is huge, without any real efficiency, because we can be bypassed anytime by... So you give an illusion of protection in a small perimeter, and outside of it, or at night, you protect nobody. So we went to another paradigm, which is more a proactive approach, and this was confirmed by the Security Council in their mandate, and this is what we had to change the situation.
And this, Melanie Kassman, to come back to you, as the director of the movie, this became one of the main thrusts, one of the key themes of the film, the fact that the mandate changed.
Yes, I went to do the day in the life of a peacekeeper and then discovered this troops of the FIB.
Force Intervention Brigades.
The Force Intervention Brigade. And so I just talked to them about what they did. You know, there's so many other people doing important things within the MONUSCO mission, but my focus did stay on the FIB.
Can I come back to you, Commander Ballot? You had 20,000 personnel there under your control, 15,000 troops. No matter how many troops you have, and you did say it's an enormous country, it's more like a continent, I think somebody in the film said, that would never be enough. So what is the evolution of peacekeeping now, 70 years into peacekeeping? Local solutions to local problems, I think you said.
Yeah, I think even as a military, I have to say that the first condition for us to build efficiency is to create the political space, political framework, also the political priorities to be done. And then we as a military, we can support these processes. The second is to have the proper capacities. But capacities doesn't mean large amount of troops. It means early warning assets, for instance, some technology. It is also mobility. Mobility can be given by air, also by engineers on the road. It's also proper communication, very important. And, for instance, medical support, because when you give the order to soldiers to take risks, you need also to be able to have them well sustained in terms of medical service, for instance. So these elements are extremely important. The last one, and I will stop there, is about the ability to work with other elements. Non-military, political, UN, non-UN, humanitarians, understanding the restrictions, the opportunities, and providing the conditions for a good combination of efforts which lead to efficiency.
Over to you, Melanie Kassman. As the director, you were embedded with the UN mission. It's going to be hard, isn't it, to create an objective view of everything that's happening. And it's come in for some flack, the UN peacekeeping missions around the world. corruption, maybe it's harassment, and worse. And this is something the Secretary General of the United Nations wants to tackle too. So from an artistic point of view, how easy was it or difficult was it to remain objective?
Oh, I think it was easy to remain objective because I knew absolutely nothing about peacekeeping or military when I arrived. And I just was like, what's it like for you? What's it like for you? And just told the whole film in their voices what their own experience was. And so it was true. It was true for each of them, and each of them had a different experience. In any large population, you're going to have good actors and bad actors. And so I just was telling the story of the good actors, and those are the ones I happened to find.
And what's the legacy of your movie now? You're taking it around the world, and it's a beautifully shot movie. It's got a very moving score as well. But what is your legacy? And I have to ask you, what happened to your fixer, Caleb, who described himself in the movie as Jack Bauer? He was a great character, wasn't he?
He's a great guy and a great human being, and he's done a lot of dangerous things, and I couldn't have been more lucky than to have him be the one helping us and guiding us. But my legacy for the film is that we can't forget. We talk about peacekeepers in this sort of like, we throw the word around. They're human beings with a mandate doing their job. And the Congolese are human beings suffering circumstances. So I think we have to look at it as a global issue that these people are all in this situation together, but they're also individual human beings and deserve care and respect.
Thank you, Melanie. And last question to you, Commander Bayou. The Secretary General of the United Nations wants, and I was talking about legacy just now, but the Secretary General of the United Nations wants peacekeeping in future to be more nimble and more effective, but also to save money as well. So what's your legacy, if you like, from the mission? What do you hope to see? Where do you hope to see peacekeeping in maybe another 70 years?
Yeah, I think we need to focus on results. I think peacekeeping has to achieve a better situation for the people on the ground. I think this is very important. And for that, we don't need necessary high spendings and even large numbers. I think we need to work also on the adequacy of our contribution to what we are asked to do, cooperation with other actors, and ability also to have dynamic processes. I think this is very important for me. And to be dynamic, you need political conditions. This is very important.